Okay, the wayside. Today's daf is daf Mem Gimel, and we're holding five lines from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara asks a shayla, boy mine Reb Avina me Rav Sheshes. For a short period of time, we're leaving the inyan of the Knas of Oynes and Mafata, and we're going to refer to the last part of the Mishnah. You remember the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, the first Mishnah in the Perek. Last two lines on the top of Mem Beis Amid Aleph, we spoke about Maase Yodeha Umetziyosa, meaning a young lady who has Baruch Hashem income. She's obviously a talented lady, so she's able to bring income into the family. Umetziyosa, and if she walks down the street and she finds a Metziya, Avabisha Legovsa, even though it was not collected. You remember Rashi asked in the Mishnah, what do you mean a Metziah was not collected? I know that you didn't pick up your salary check, that I can understand, but you didn't collect the Metziah. Well, Mitchum, we're going to address that later in today's daf. Mesa Av, what happens if Chas V'Shalom, the father passes away? Hari Henshel Achim, it belongs to the brothers. So she earned the Mas Yadayim when the father was still alive. She didn't pick up the money yet. It was still in the hands of the employer. If she had picked up the money, then the money would of course go to the Av, because the Mas Yadayim of a young lady goes to the Av. How do I know that? The Gemara already brought a drosha a few days ago, and the Gemara is going to repeat it again on Daf Mem Zayin, where it says, V'chiyimkar ish es bita li oma, ma oma mas yadeh l'rabba, af bas mas yadeh li aviha. The Mas Yadayim of a Ketana, as well as the Nara, go to the father. So had the father lived, of course it would go to him. Unfortunately, the father passed away. What happens then? That the Achim, the brothers, go and Yarshin, that Mas Yadayim that would have gone to the father, goes to them. So now the Gemara, back to us in Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, five lines from the top. Bo yimenei Reb Avinu Meir Rav Sheshes, Bas Hanizoynis Minho Achim, Mas Yodel and me, but Mokum Av Kaimi, my Hossam, Mas Yodel the Av, Hochanami, Mas Yodel the Achen, Oidelma, Loidom the Av. What's the word of Shiloh over here? The father Nimbuch has passed away. The daughter continues to go and produce Mas Yodayim, in other words, to produce income. The question is, who gets the benefit of that income? Now, when the father was alive, the father used to go and support her and gave her food. And, as a quid pro quo, he would go and get her Mas Yadayim. Now the question is, however, the father already passed away. The brothers of this young lady, they are supporting her. Supporting her in Nizoinis, meaning they're giving her food. Why are they doing that? Well, it could be because they're very good-hearted brothers, that could be. However, there's another reason too. Says Rashi, they are required, they're obligated to go and support her because of the terms of the Ksuba. What are the terms of the Ksuba? So if you look at the Rashi on the third and fourth line from the top of the Amid, Basan is Oynis Menachem, Shekach he, Shekach hu, Tanai Ksuba Bepirkin. Mitch, I'm going to learn in another few days that there's a Tanai written to each Ksuba. Benonukvan Tiheven Lichi Minoi. Any young ladies, any girls, Nukvan from Russian, of course, of Nekeva, any daughters, the husband writes to the wife in the Ksuba at the time of the Chuppah, and presumably the person who's reading out the Ksuba, he's going to say these words as well, that any Nekevas, any girls, that you're going to have from me, Einin Yehoin Yasvin Bevesi, what's the issue? The issue is that we know that Min HaTorah only boys Yarshin and not girls, if there are a mixture of sons and daughters. If they're only daughters, then you have, of course, the Bnei Tzlovchad, then they are the ones that go in Yarshin. But if you have a mixture of sons and daughters, Min HaTorah, the sons get and not the daughters. So now, every woman that gets married is kind of nervous. What's going to be if, Mi'at Hashem, they're going to have daughters? And then, Chulila V'chas, the husband is going to pass away. Or the husband is going to give her a get. what's going to happen with those daughters? So that's why there's a Tanai Bezdin that's written in the Ksuba that those daughters that will be born, even after the father passes away, Chas v'Sholem, or he gives a get, Chas v'Sholem, even they, Yehoin Yasim Beis, they can consider, they can continue to live in his house, Umitzim in a Chosai, and continue to receive Mizoinites from the estate, and to look and govern until they get married. Once they get married, they're on their own. But as long as they're still single, the Tanai Ksuba says, the estate will pay for your Mizoinites. Aha. So now, what's happening is, the father passed away, the Yorishim, meaning the brothers, they're the ones that are administering the estate, and they are following the dictates of the Tanai Ksuba, and, like it says in the Gemara, Bas HaNizoinis Men Achen, she's receiving Mizoinis from the brothers. The question is, does she have to cough up her income to them? She had to when the father was still alive, but does she have to do that when the children are the ones administering the estate? Do you say that the Yorishim are just continuing the rotzin of the father, and therefore, if you will, they fill the shoes of the father? Is Mahosa Masi Deliav, just like by the father, he got her Masi Adayim, her income, Hachara Masi Deliach, so they get her income as well. Oidil Maloi Dami, maybe it's different. Loi Dami Liav, Goshosa Midide Mitzna. There he's giving it, if you will, from his own wallet, from the goodness of his heart, he's giving Mizoinis to his daughter. Here, however, they're not giving it from their nechasim, they're giving it from the estate. It's a legal obligation, they're paying it from the estate, but who says that they are entitled to receive her masi or dayim? So this is the shaila that Rabbi Avinah posed to Rav Sheshes. Do the brothers get her income, yes or no?
Why are the brothers considered the potential recipient? Why not have the money go back directly to the estate?
The estate is not a... In American law, it's a legal entity. You have trusts and you have estates. Here we're talking about Minatoyra. There's no such thing as a corporation. There's no such thing as a trust. No such thing as an estate. It's people. So the question is, who's going to receive it? There's no father. The people that are left here are the Yorshim. Do they get it? Yes or not? Amalei, Sir Rav Sheshes said, although I don't have a Braisa or a Mishnah directly on point vis-a-vis their sister, but I do have a Braisa or a Mishnah directly on point vis-a-vis the mother or the stepmother. And what is that? And you see, we learned. Almona nizoinis menichse yesoimim umasi odeo shelohen. The almona receives the mezoinis menichse yesoimim. Here too, based on the Tanai in the Ksuba, because the Ksuba says, and Rashi quotes it again, if you want to take a look at the Rashi, five lines from the top, Almon Nizoinim Nechzi Yisayimim, the Hainami Tanai Ksubahu, the Pirkin, At Zehe Yasvim Vesri, you, the Almona, will sit in my home, Umitzim Nechasa, and you'll continue receiving Mizoinis, Kol Yimei Meger Almon Nesecha, the entire time that you are an Almona. Oh, so it's a Tanai Ksuba, just like by the B'no Nukvan. That being the case, Zhokti Gemara, Umas Yodea Shelehen. The Mas Yodayim goes taka to them. Oh, so you see that when there's no longer a father, and we're paying out the Almana, Mizoinis, then her income goes to the kids. So the same thing should apply here too. That if you have the... Same Ksuba says, support the daughter, so the Chayr, her Masi Adayim should go to them. The Chayr, it sounds exactly, it's a beautiful parallel riot. Zokti Mor Nishka Riot. Me Dami, Almanosa Le Nichalei Barvocha. Bito Nichalei Barvocha. As far as the Alman is concerned, it could be that the husband thinks to himself that I have two choices. Do I want food or money and extras going to my almana, to the widow, or do I want it to go to the children? And it could very well be that the father wants that the children should have more money than the almana, as long as the almana is being supported. After all, she's getting food and shelter. She's allowed to go and stay in my house and receive regular meals all the time from the estate. So she's, Baruch Hashem, taken care of. Masha Enkin, my children, I want them to have enough to go and support themselves and their families and all the rest. And also bear in mind, of course, that a widow is free to go and remarry someone else. And so therefore the husband says, I don't want to go and give her tons of money that she should afterwards be a good candidate for future husbands. I want her to remember me and the many years that we had together, etc. So it could very well be that his sentiments are more for his sons than for his wife. And therefore he says, you know what? I'm going to give her food and shelter. However, her masiya dayim, she could support herself on her own income. She's not. She's supporting herself based on my ksuba. Let her go and give the masiya dayim to the kids. However, that's when you're talking about the amana lenichle barvocha. He's not particularly interested that she should have more than she needs. However, b'itay nichle barvocha, when it comes to his daughter, he does want her to have extra. So not only should she have the mezoinis from the Tanai Ksuba, but she should also be able to keep her own income. Why is it b'itay nichle? So Rashi says very simply, so she should have a larger nadin, a larger dowry, so that if afterwards she wants to get married, eventually she's going to want to get married, so she's going to want potential suitors to say, oh, not only is she Baruch Hashem, a Yefei Toar, and Yefei Mare, not only does she have all the wonderful malice of an Erlich Hayidna, guess what? She also has money. And often that is a very important factor in Shidduchim. So therefore, Bita Nichol HaRavach is very happy that she should keep her Masi Yadayim. So you cannot bring a raya from the almana to the case of bitoy. So Timur Lememer, based on what you just said, it sounds like the bitoy adif le'malmanasa. He's more concerned about his daughter that she should have more funds than he's concerned about his own almana. I Omer Rav Abba Omer Rav Yosi also almana etel abas kibas etel achin v'nechasim muatin. What does that mean? Although again minatoyra, it's the brothers, it's the sons that yarshin. However, because a father is very nervous about his daughter, and the Chachamim were also concerned, what happens if you only have a small estate left? The father who passed away, unfortunately, was not a Baal Nechasim. He was a Shvacha, a weak earner. Didn't leave any large estates. There's not enough to go around for even Mezoinois, for the boys and for the girls. So Minat Torah, the boys get it, and the girls Nebuch have to be Chozer al Hapsachim. Chozer al Hapsachim means they have to go and peddle and beg from door to door. However, what the Chacham did was they said, Osu Amona Eitzel Abbas, Kibas Eitzel Achim, Nechosim Uatim. What does that mean? Mahabas Eitzel Achim. If you have only a small estate, and you have a daughter, and you have brothers, meaning brothers and sisters, Habas Nezoinis. The daughter is the one that gets from the small, meager estate. And the brothers, they should have to go around begging and asking for funds to be able to go and support themselves. Af almana, says the Gemara, same thing applies, says Abba Umar Biyosi. Af almana, eitz alabas. If the two competitors for the meager estate is the almana, the widow, and the daughter, almana nizoynis, it's the almana that takes the food, takes the money to go and support herself, to be able to eat. And it's the daughter that unfortunately has to go and beg and plead for mercy that people should go and support her. So what do I see from this? I see that the husband is more concerned about the widow than he's concerned about his daughter. A moment ago you said that when it comes to harvacha, he's more concerned about the daughter than the widow. And here we're saying we're more concerned about the widow than the daughter. Does that make sense? Says Yimura, yes, it does. Because it depends what we're talking about. Le'inyin zilusa, as far as zilzul, meaning shame and humiliation, amanose adifule. He's much more concerned about his widow. He doesn't want people to say, look, Mrs. Smith is Nebuch pleading and begging for money. Look at the widow of Mr. Smith who passed away. Apparently he didn't do a very good job. He didn't have money. And Nebuchadnezzar, Mrs. Smith, an old lady already, she has to go and run around to go collect funds. So that's a humiliation. However, and therefore the Gabi Dizalusi is more concerned about the widow than about the daughter. the fact that the daughter's a young kid, so she's young, so let her go and run around and try to scrape together whatever funds, either by trying to find odds and ends types of jobs, or if not, at least try to go and get some money by Nebuch begging. But he doesn't want his widow to do that, because his widow is Nebuch, an older lady, and it's pasnish. It's humiliating. So that's why there he gives preference to the widow. So if there's only a meager estate, let her be nezoinis, and she has to be she'elis al psach. Mash'enken agabi harvacha. If, Baruch Hashem, there's enough to go around, and we have extra in the terms of the mas yadayim, the income stream, then the father thinks to himself, I'd rather that my daughter get extra income and let her keep her own income, at the same time being supported by the estate. And the reason for that is because my daughter needs to get married and find an appropriate shidduch. He has more rachmanis on his daughter than on his wife, because as far as he's concerned, as far as the widow, you know, it's no longer his concern about her getting married. Perhaps he even has a strong preference that she should not get married, and everybody should continue thinking of her as Mrs. Smith, as opposed to marrying Jones or Goldberg or somebody else. Anyway, what do we have so far? Rabbi Avinah posed the question to Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes was medame. He did bring a parallel from an almana, and he says it just like the almana, the mas yadeha shelahen, it goes to the kids. Here too, the mas yadayim goes to the brothers, the mas yadayim stream that the daughter is able to go and produce goes to her brothers. Mosiv Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asks now on Rav Sheshes. Now we're going back to our Mishnah of yesterday, and that's how we got into this in the first place. Her Masiyadai, and a Metziah that she finds, Alva Bishalekov, so even though it was not collected, however, it was there already Ba'olam when the father was still alive. And then unfortunately, Mesa Av, the father passed away. Harein Shalachim, it now belongs to the brothers. So the Gemara is Medayik. Tam de Bechaya. The only reason why we're saying that it goes to the brothers is because the father was still alive when the Mais Yadayim accrued. She had worked for a few days. It was Friday. She was expecting to get her weekly salary Friday afternoon. It was all there in the bank. The check had been written out. The employee is ready to give it to him, to give it to her, that is. And unfortunately, the father passes away. So he was entitled to it. So says the Gemara, even though Nebuchadnezzar passed away, it goes to the brothers, they yarshin what he would have received. But it's time the b'chayam, it's all because the father was still alive when the income accrued. Holy Acha Misesav, what happens the next week after the father passed away already? And at this point, she is now working, and Baruch Hashem, or after, at least after Shiva, she's working and she's producing income. Where would that income go to? Sounds like it would go li'atzma, because the only time we give it to the Achan is because Mesa Av, after the accrual of the income. But if the income accrued after the father passed away, it sounds like she would get it. Zoktimar Mayla ben Izoinis, aren't we talking about that she is being supported from the estate as per the Tanai Ksuba Beno Nukvan that we quoted before? So we see that even though she's getting from the estate food to eat, nevertheless, her income belongs to her. It's like a kasha and Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said no, that the income stream goes to the brothers. Everything more. Loy. We're not talking about a case where she was being supported. B'shein and Zaynis is talking about that, in fact, she's not getting from the estate. Ah, Zok Rashi, but doesn't the Tanai Ksuba say the B'na Nukvan she has to get from the estate? So Trashi maybe is talking about a case that unfortunately there is not enough money in the estate to go and give her mezainis. The father passed away and only the evyoin. There was nothing in the estate. So therefore, she's not getting food. If she's not getting food, that's why it says in our Mishnah that after the father passes away, any future income accrual goes to her. After all, she has to be able to eat. Zok Timora. If we're talking about such a case that she's not receiving food from the estate, might remember, what's the chiddush? Then of course we have to allow her to keep her income. Does anybody in their right mind think that she is not getting supported from the estate and not from the brothers, yet any income that she makes, she has to hand it over to them. Would that make sense? Even according to Mandiyama that holds that an odoin can be, if you will, mean to his eved and say to the eved, "Asay imi, you gotta work a normal 8 or 10 or 12 hour day for me. I'm not gonna go and give you food. How are you gonna support yourself? After hours, go and be chozer ala psachim, be shoal ala psachim, to go and collect. You just have to go and beg. So it's not my problem. You are my slave. I say, imi, you're going to work for me, v'eini zoncha, and I'm not going to go and support you. You're going to have to go and scramble for your food. Says the Gemara, even according to that, man, the yomar hani mili only by an eved kanani, but not by an eved ivri. Why is the difference between Eved Kanani and Eved Ivri? So like Sibbe Imach, because it doesn't say in the Pasuk Imach when you're talking about the case of an Eved Kanani. It only says it by an Eved Ivri. Ki toiv loy Imach. It says in the Pasuk, V'hoye ki yoymer eilecha loy eitze me Imach, ki ahevcha v'yes beisecha, ki toiv loy Imach. Toiv loy Imach means you got to be mativ, you got to be good to this individual. That's only agabe, the case of the Eved Ivri, but not the case of the Eved Kanani. Abel Eved Ivri, dechsib be imach. If there it does say the word imach, then avad aloi. Then you're not allowed to say to him, asay imi v'eini zancha. If the Eved Ivri is acting the way he's supposed to and he's providing services, asay imi, then zancha, you have to go and feed him. And Dr. Gemara, here we're talking about avadim. Is a koshkin b'itoy. Mavach, your Eved, you have to be good to, your Eved Ivri. And if he's working for you and he's doing a good job, you got to go and give him mezoinus, you have to give him food. Then certainly your daughter, you have to go and give food. You can't go and take from her masi yadayim and say, sorry, the bank account is empty. The bank account is empty, let her hold on to her income. So it cannot be, says the Gemara, that it's talking about eini mezoinus, and we should have had a havamina that she has to cough up her income and give it to the brothers. If she has no mezoinus from them, and she has to hand over the income, then how is she going to support herself? She's going to have to beg. Only by an Eved Kanani is there such a svara, according to one man, the Yomar. This is not universal. According to man, the Yomar, by an Eved Kanani, you can say, asay mi bein izancha. But you can't say ben ever ivri, and you certainly can't say that by the daughter. So what's the chiddush that the daughter gets the mas yadayim if she's not getting food from the estate? Rabbi Bar Ula, the chiddush of the Mishnah leitz nitzricha el hadafa. It's talking about for luxuries. What does Yomar mean for luxuries? It's talking about, says Rashi Taka, that the estate has no funds. The father passed away, nothing left in the estate. So how does she go and support herself? She supports herself from her ma'asi adayin, from her own income. That's a devil poshet. However, Baruch Hashem, she makes much more money than she needs for her mezoinos. Baruch Hashem, she's very tichtig, she's very creative, she's very talented, and Baruch Hashem, she makes a very, very nice living. Sol kadaitach amina, when do I say that she can go and keep her own income to go and support herself, to produce mezoinos? Maybe that's only vis-a-vis what she absolutely needs. Maybe we'll give her an extra 5 or 10%, so she can go and get, for dessert, she can go and get an extra ice cream, not just eat a piece of fruit or a piece of cake. Fine. Abladafa, if she makes much more than that, maybe I would have thought that that should go to the achin. Kamash malon, that's why the Mishnah says no. Her entire masi yadayim, lock, stock, and barrel, whatever she makes, whether she makes $1 a week or $1 million a week, it all belongs to her. Omar Rava, Gav Rabbi Krav Yosef Lo Yoda De Ika Hadof The Kamoisef Tiyufta. The kasha that was posed was by Rav Yosef. He was asking this kasha on Rav Sheshes. If you're wondering where that was, Rav Yosef was halfway down the Amid. Masav Rav Yosef from our Mishnah, Masi Adem, and Tziyasa, Avpishin, Shalei Govsa, Meisa Av, Rein Shalachin, and we made a Dirk, Lachem Misa Sa'av, Ugo Li Atzma. So the Gemara is saying, how did Rav Sheshis defend his position? Rav Sheshis defended the position by saying that our Mishnah is talking like Gavi Hadafa. Zok the Gemara, Gavi Rabba Kav Yosef, Rav Yosef, who asked the Kasha, who is of course a Gavi Rabba, Lo Yoda de Ika Hadafa, didn't he know about the concept of Hadafa, the Kamoisef Tiyufta? He knew that you could theoretically try to answer Hadafa, but being that Rav Yosef is the great Sinai, like we learned yesterday, the living encyclopedia, he knew that that's not the pshat in our Mishnah, and that's why he asked the Kasha of Sheshis. So please don't try to go and push him away with answers of Hadafa. He knew that before he asked the Kasha. And therefore, Elo Amar Rava Rav Yosef Mastisen Gufa Kashale. What was bothering Rav Yosef was what we were bothered with when we learned the Mishnah yesterday. And that is Diktoni Mas Yadayim Mitziyasa Ava Bishaloi Gavsa Mas Yadayim, which is income, and a Mitziyah, even though she wasn't Goyvi, she didn't collect it yet. Frey Timora, Mas Yadayim Shaloi Gavsa makes sense. Right? A person worked for a few days, and he's waiting for the employer to give the salary check, so you're entitled to it. Loi Gavsa, you didn't collect it yet, but you're going to collect it shortly. But Mitziyah, if a person walks down the street, either you picked it up or you didn't pick it up. There's no such thing as Mitziyah is subject to future collection. So what is this Lashon in the Mishnah of Bishlei Gavsa? Mitziyah Siman Gavya. Who do you collect the Mitziyah from? Either you picked it up or you didn't. Elalav, the reason why the Mishnah threw in Mitziyasa of Bishlei Gavsa was to tell us a separate halacha. Hachi kama, Masiyadeha ki Mitziyasa. Her income stream is just like her mitzios. Ma mitzios b'chaya avli av. As long as the father was alive, the mitzia goes to the father. Le'acha mises av li'atzmo. After mises av, she keeps it. How do we know that that's the case? Le'acha mises av li'atzmo. Maybe the mises after mises av, maybe the mitzia also goes to the brothers. So Rashi says that the only reason why her mitzia goes to the father is Mishum Eva. Shum Eva means that there shouldn't be enmity. There shouldn't be hatred between the father and the daughter. Where he says to the daughter, I'm supporting you. I'm taking care of you. I'm giving you food and shelter. And you find the mitzvah and you keep it for yourself and you don't share it with me. So therefore, that's as long as the father's alive. But after the father passed away, there is no such svara of Eva. So therefore, she can go and keep it liatzma. The Mas Yadayim, her income stream, as long as the father's alive, Avada goes Li'av. The Achmisa Av, but after the father passed away, Li'atzma belongs to her. Shema Minos, says Rav Yosef, I have a raya from our Mishnah. And therefore, what we have now is a machlokes between Rav Sheshis and Rav Yosef. The original Shaila was, remember, Rav Avinah asked Rav Sheshis, what happens with a bas hanizoynis menachin? Who gets the mas yadayim? Do the brothers get the mas yadayim, or does she keep the mas yadayim? Says our Gemara, Rav Sheshis paskin, the brothers get the mas yadayim. Rav Yosef learned pshat in our Mishnah. No, she gets the mas yadayim. And in fact, itmanami Rav Yehuda Merav. Rav Yehuda Merav agrees with Rav Yosef. So Rav Yehuda Merav is on board, like Rav Yosef. The father passed away. She's getting support in the form of mezoinos from the ksuba tanai ksuba, and the brothers who are administering the ksuba, they're giving her from the estate mezoinos. If she earned income, the income stream belongs to her. Amrav Kana, my timer. Do you have a rai from a posik? Do you have a makar? Yeah, the chsin is in the posik. This nachaltam oisim lebneichem achareichem, l'reshes bohem achuza, l'reshes achuza. L'oim lebohem tavoidu. What is this referring to? This is referring to an evik kanani. What happens if the odoin passes away? The evik kanani doesn't go free, but rather he is like any other part of the estate, any other possession. He's chattel, and it goes to the children. That's what it says in the pasuk, "Visnachaltem oisam." You're going to leave as a nachla, as an inheritance of the avodim kananim, levneichem achareichem, to your children after you, l'reshes achuza, to have an achuza, to have a yerusha, lo'olamem tavoidu, and you should hold on to them forever, etc., etc. So the Gemara darshens, Oysam levnechem, the Eved Kanani goes to your sons. V'loy b'noyseichem levnechem, but not your daughters to your sons. What does that mean, not your daughters to your sons? Magid she'ein adam moedish schus bitai livnai. Even though when the father was alive, he had the schus bitai. What was the schus bitai? The mas yadayim. That's anything that accrued and was in the father's possession before he passed away. Then like anything else in the estate, the children, the boys, go and yarsh in the estate. However, schusim, schusim means money that has not been received yet. It's a schus that the father had, that when the daughter worked, her mas yadayim went to him. Yeah, that's as long as he's alive. But once he passes away, that schus, that right to receive the mas yadayim, that does not flow to the boys. Oysum levnechem, but not schus bitoy levnechem. So that supports, of course, what we just said now, that her mas yadayim, la'achem mei ve'esrim, after the father passes away, goes to her, does not go to the boys. So what is Rav Sheshes going to go and do with all of that? Rav Sheshes said that it does go to the achim. Maskele Rabba, the aima bepitui habas uknosis v'chavales akosim medaber. Maybe when this pasuk is saying v'snachaltem oisam, oisam levnechem v'loy b'neisechem levnechem, and you're saying that that's referring to the mas yadayim, who says? After all, the daughter has many other types of income, if you will, and maybe it's those other types of income that we say do not go to the sons. What other types of income would she receive? Chas v'sholem, the oynis and knas of oynis u'mafata, the knas of oynis u'mafata, pitui habas u'knasos, as well as chavolos. Chavolos means if chas v'sholem someone damaged her, so whatever income she gets from that, whatever compensation or remuneration, maybe that's what the pasuk is saying. Don't give that to the banim. She keeps that for herself. That's what the pasuk is talking about. So it's not talking about the masi yadayim at all. Maybe the masi yadayim would in fact go to the brothers. It's these other things that don't go. Zokti mora. I'm sorry?
He's talking about pitui. With pitui, he said that there's no knas because it's consensual. Why are we talking about pitui?
What we're saying about the pitui abas uknosois, we're saying that were she to receive anything, who would that go to? Now, as far as the... let's just check for one moment. I don't have the earlier Gemara. Please bear with me one moment.
Can you hear my question? When there's pitui, there's no knas, because it's consensual.
No, I understand exactly. I know exactly where you're coming from.
No, there's knas. There's no tsar.
No, but if there's...
Pitui, there's knas.
No, there's knas.
We learn one from the other.
You're keep on talking about it, say.
We have that.
I'm looking back in the earlier parak, the previous parak, and it does say that certain things go to her after the father passes away. I'm just looking for the psukim where the Gemara brings it, but I don't find it off the top of my head. But there certainly certain things do go to her, even though she's moichel by having lived together with this fellow, she still receives certain things anyway. Doesn't automatically all get nimchala, whether it's the tsar, whether it's the boishes of pagam, but I have to go and find it. I can't come up with it. We made them yet to Shem. Well, I'll get back to you tomorrow on this. But certainly there are certain things that she does reserve, or she does receive, even though she was mefuta. So the Gemara tells us now. So if that's the case, maybe that's what the Oysim Levneichem comes to exclude, not the schus of the Masi Adayim. Maybe it's coming to exclude the Oynes and Mefatik Nosis and the Chavolois. Ever the Gemara Chavolois, what's the even the Havamina that the Chavolois would go to the brothers? Chavolois Tzar de Gufaninu. She is the one that suffered the Tzar. So if she suffered the Tzar, then of course it should go to her and not go to the brothers. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina, it's so much a potza bifonea. What means potza bifonea? That when the person gave her the Chabala, for instance, he gave her a punch in the nose, in the face. As a result, she has a scar. And now, if and when she were to be sold as a slave, then she would receive less money because people don't want a young lady with a scar on their face. And therefore, that scar, Zokti Mar, that would normally belong to the father. Why would that belong to the father? Because he has the right to go and sell his ketana for an omivria. So since that's the damage that would normally accrue to him, sol kedai techamina, that schus would accrue to the brothers. That's why the pasuk says, oisul levneichem, v'lo yimin oiseichem levneichem, that type of chavolah does not go to them, but she is the one that keeps it. Anyway, lemaisa, we have a machloikis between Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef, where Rav Sheshes said that when you have a situation where the father passed away, the daughter is getting supported in terms of mezoinos from the ksuba, who gets the masi adayim? Rav Sheshes says the masi adayim goes to the brothers. Rav Yosef said, and this was supported as well by Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, that the masi adayim go to her. And now, from here to the Mishnah, is largely going to be a repeat of the last few lines. And we start off, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav.
Just like we...
Yes, Brother Shah.
In the case of onus, don't all the four compensatory payments, don't they all go to the Av?
Yes.
Before the Tsar.
That's as long as the father's alive. If and when the father passes away, then she gets it.
So what are you saying? It's a piece of a banana. It certainly goes to the father. He gets everything else.
I'm not following. What's your question?
There's a war against the Terrence that's talking about where she was accosted in the face.
Her father's not alive, Shai. We're talking about her father's no longer alive.
The Gemara is referring to the Chavolos case. All of these are referring to the father has passed away. And now there is knas that is payable, or chavolois that are payable. So sol kedai techamina, that just like the father received these income streams when the father was alive, perhaps now the boys get it instead. Says he want to know. Oisam levneichem v'lo ibn oiseichem levneichem. Certain rights that the father had in his daughter, schuz bitoi, do not go to the boys, but rather go to herself. What are those things? Says Imara, the oynis mafat and chavolis, they go to her and not to the boys. Is that okay?
Yeah, okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So now, who's the one that said that all of this goes to her? Om Rav Yehuda Marav. Not only Rav Yosef said it, but Rav Yehuda Marav. Now the Imara says that Rav Zeira Om Rav said the same thing. Om Rav Zeira Om Rav. I'm sorry, Omrav Zera, Omrav Masna, Omrav. The Amrila Omer Rabbi Zera, Omrav Masna, Omrav. The Chayre, it's just repeating itself. Why does the Gemara say again the Amrila? The first time it says Rav Zera, the second time it says Rabbi Zera with a Yud. So what difference does that make? So Rashi tells us because Rav Zera originally lived in Bavel. In later years, he was Ole to Eretz Yisrael. So when he was in Bavel, they called him Rav Zera. The reason why they didn't call him Rabbi Zera, because there was no smicha in Bavel. Therefore, he only had the name Rav. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, and they gave him smicha, then they called him Rabbi Zera. You see Rashi on the second and third line, on Rav Zera, on the Omer Rabbi Zera, Hu Reb Zera, Hu Rav Zera. They're really the same person. El Babavl Mekami de Solik Lardi Yisrael, Mekami de Rabbi Yochanan. He was Rav Zera before he went up to Eretz Yisrael to learn by Rabbi Yochanan. Leitzmich Babavl. Have you correlated? Rav Zera. When he went up to Eretz Yisrael, he became Rabbi. The reason why the Gemara is repeating it, even though we're talking about the same individual, is some say that he said this in his earlier years when he was still in Babel, and some say that Reb Zera said this in the name of Masna Marav when he had already reached Eretz Yisrael. That's how Rashi learned. You'll notice Rashi on the third line, there's a small gimel there. The gimel in the Seder Sashas tells us this is not unanimous, because if you look up the Toisis and Menachas and Daf Mem, he sigu bezed Reb Zera lav hainu Rav Zera. The Toisis, in fact, respectfully disagrees with Rashi and says that they're two separate individuals. There's a Rav Zera and there's a Rabbi Zera. Okay. Anyway, Machloik is Rashi Toisis. But what did they say for goodness sake? They said in the name of Rav, Basad is Oinis Menachem Mas Yodeli Atzma. Oh, the same thing as of Yehuda Amar Rav. How do I know? Tchsib. There's the chalta moysel nechem acharechem. Oysel of nechem lemin esechem of nechem. Magish ein oda moyer zchus bitoy libnoi. That you don't give the zchus bitoy libnoi. And that's the reason why she keeps the mas yadayim for herself. Omle avimi bar papi. Shokud omra. A person known as the shokud, he is the one that said this memra. So tomorrow, shokud manu, who is the person who has this name, Shokud, that's really Shmuel. Now, how did Shmuel get the name Shokud? Says Rashi, because he was Shoikid al Dvarav. Shoikid means like a masmid. A person, a shakton, or a shokid, is a person who is constantly reviewing his notes, reviewing his learning, so that it should really be Shogur Bethiv, that whatever he says, he knows that it's correct. We just had in the Pasuk, Vishinamtim Levanechem Dibar Tabam, so Rashi and Chumash in last week's parish said, what does it mean, Vishinamtim? That it should be Shonen Beficha, it should be clear. Anybody that asks in Halacha, you shouldn't start stuttering and saying, I don't know, I don't remember, I have to look it up, blah, blah, blah. If someone asks you whether the Knas of Pitui goes to the daughter after the father passes away, you should know it on your fingertips. Not you should have to say, I'm really not sure, I'll get back to you, I'll let you know. So that's the din of Ishinantam, and that's the din of Shmuel, who was a Shokud. So Kimari, you're telling me Shmuel said it? Harav Amra. We just said in the name of Rav, both in the Amad Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. And we have here Rab Zeira Amar Masna, or Rabbi Zeira Amar Masna Amar Rav. So Rav said it, not Shmuel. Ephidimara, Eim Av Shokud Amra. Not only Rav, but Shmuel also agreed with Rav that it goes Li Atzma. The Rav Sheshes says that it goes to the Achin. Ravashi Yom Hilchas Kavasi the Rav. Hilchas Kavasi the Rav. That it goes li Atzma and not li Achin. It's interesting. The Gemara uses the expression over here Shokud. You'll remember the Gemara says at the end of Masechta Soita, Misha bottle this, bottle that. Misha bottle this, bottle that. For instance, it says Misha bottle. Mishameis Rebbe Botla Anova. So it says Mishameis Ben Azai Botla Shakdonim. Those that were really shoykid, like the Gemara's Lashon of Yeshokud, Botla Shakdonim. They say about, obviously, Ben Azai was a tremendous masmid, and that's why he was referring to the Shakdon. So the story is told that when Rav Liashiv, Zichron Livracha, before he passed away, he was a Givaldi, he was a tremendous, tremendous masmid, and he learned over and over and over and over again things that people don't. They say, for instance, once they asked him a shaila on halacha, and they said they couldn't find it anywhere, and Rav Yashiv said that it happens to be a ramah in the tour, in a totally unrelated place. The Ramo over there is bringing a raya from one thing to the other. And they said, Rav Yasha, how did you know that on your fingertips? So he said something like he had learned this Torah and that Ramo, I think, 200 times or something like that. So they told him that before he passed away, they showed him that a person wrote a biography of Rav Yasha when he was still alive. And the name of the book was Hashakton. And they asked him, Rav Eliyashiv, would you like to look at the book and see what it says about you? And he says, no, it doesn't interest him, and he doesn't have the time because he has to go back to learning. But then they showed him the cover page that said Ashakta. He says, you see, the whole thing is a sheker, because the Gemara says at the end of Masechta Soita, Mishameis Benaze Batlu Ashaktanim, there's no such thing as a Shaktan anymore. So the whole cover tells you already that this is fake news. He said he's not interested, don't waste your time in reading it. Anyway, on to the next Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah. Yeah, bruchim to you. Hamaris is bitoy vegirsha. Irsa venis armula, ksuvasa shaloi. He see a vegirsha, he see a venis armula, ksuvasa shaloi. The Mishnah is telling us is a very simple halacha, and that is when a girl gets married, there are of course the two periods. First you have the erusin, and then you have the nisuin. At the time of the erusin, the husband or the chosin gives her kesef kiddushin. Who owns that kesef kiddushin? Well, we know that it goes to the father. As bitin asatil isha zeh, he has a right to marry off the daughter, and he has a right to go and keep the kesef kiddushin. What happens if, unfortunately, she gets divorced, and then she gets remarried? And all of this is taking place when she is still a ktana or a na'ara. Says our Mishnah, no problem. All kesef kiddushins, kesef erusin, whatever she receives, belongs to him, belongs to the father. Even if this happens multiple times, hama'aris is bita v'girsha, and unfortunately the husband gave her a divorce. And then the father again married her off, irsa, and Nebuch this time it is armula, the husband died. Ksubasa shaloi. It's not only kesef kiddushin, even the ksuba at the end goes to the father. By the way, it's talking about those makoimis where they gave a ksuba larusa, because in fact this will be a hot issue later on in our mesachta, whether ksuba they were mesakin only for nesuais or even for arusois. Says Rashi in our Mishnah, this man the Amma holds that they made ksuba for erusin as well. Fine. So Nebuch, she was already a widow and she was already a divorcee. The ksuba goes to the father. On the other hand, hisia, what happens if she went the further step? Not only erusin, but nisuin. The nisuin cuts the ties between the father and the daughter. So even though, chas v'shalom, the girsha, she got to get when she was still only a katana or a nara. And then hisia, and then she got remarried. Minis armula, and she became an almana. Ksuvasa shalom, the ksuba no longer goes to the father. The ksuba goes to her. Rabbi Yehuda, however, respectfully disagrees. He says, "Harishoyne shalav, the first one belongs to the father." Now, why does the first one belong to the father? We'll see in the Gemara the Svara of Rabbi Yehuda, but only the first time. After she already was divorced or became a widow from the first husband, and now she remarries the second time, the third time, the fourth time, even though she's still a ketana and a nara, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees those. That ksuba would go to her, would not go to the father. It's just the first time he says, Rishon Rishalav. Omer Loi ben Chacham disagree, and they say, Mishesia, once she had Nisuin, Ein Lavir Rishuspa, it's as if she is, if you will, a Yisoma B'chayav, she's now on her own, and the father no longer has any rights to her ksuba or to any of her income stream because she got fully married. We're going to come back to the Behuda and the machloikis with the chachamim in a minute. But in the meantime, the Gemara makes a very simple diuk. Why does the Mishnah start off? Hamaris is bitoy v'girsha. Irsa v'nisarmula. Why didn't it say twice nisarmula? Hamaris is bitoy v'nisarmula. Irsa v'nisarmula. Why do we have a misharain, a mas mitaget? And therefore, we're going to talk now about the inyan of the isha katlonis. And zok the Gemara. Taima disiya begirsha veyisiya benis armula. Avenis armula trezeni. What happens if she became an almana twice? Sulei chazili and suve, then she could not marry the third time. Why can't she get married the third time? Doesn't a woman become a katlonis only after three times when there is a chazaka? Zakti gemara. Agavorchi kososim lantana kirabi. The Gemara is, the Mishnah Agavorcha, is throwing in an additional secondary halacha, which is not the focus of the Mishnah, but it's just throwing it in like Rabbi, the Rabbi Hosium, but Trezimni Avachazaka, after two times already Chazaka. So had she been this Almana twice, she wouldn't be able to remarry to a husband a third time. That's why the Mishnah gives one case of Girsha and one case of Nisakla. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rishon Nishalav. My time in Rabbi Yehuda, what's the svara of Rabbi Yehuda? Remember, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the first time, even though there was Nisuin, if she gets divorced or she gets widowed, then the money goes to the father. What's this for Rabbi Yehuda? Rav Rabbi Yosef Damar Tavai, Hoylu Mishas Eirusin Zocha Behena Av. Because the ksuba was written out, or even if it wasn't written out, but at least it was stipulated, or even if it wasn't stipulated. If you hold that Yesh Ksuba La Rusa, it's a Tanai Bezdin. Even if they didn't write a ksuba, it's an automatic thing. And the automatic ksuba really starts from the time of the Eiris. At the time of the Eirusin, she was not in the Suwa yet. So even though she only received her ksuba post-Nisuin, however, the obligation already accrued at the time of Eirusin. Well, Eirusin, we said in our Mishnah, that for sure goes to the father, right? That was the Reshem, Aris's Bitoy. The Girsha Irsa v'Nisarma, Kuzuvasa Shaloi. So says Rabbi Yehuda, even by the Nisuin, since the right to receive the ksuba accrued at the time of the Eirusin, Eirusin, she still, everybody agrees, the daughter of her father, it all goes to the father. So even though she only receives it post-Nisuin, it goes to the father. But that's only the first time. Because by the second time, she's already a Nisua. So when she remarries, and at that time, even though you're saying that the accrual of the Ksuba is the time of the Eirusin, fine, but that Eirusin took place post the first Nisuin, and therefore her financial ties with her father were severed. Rav Yosef Jeremiah, Hoyul Mishas Eirusin Zoch Benav. Pray to Yosef Rava. I have a Braisa, and again the Braisa quotes Rabbi Yehuda like our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oima Harishay Nishal Av. But now the key words of this Kasha that Rav is asking. Look what the Braisa continues on. Umay Rabbi Yehuda, the Ma'aris is Bitoy, Kishihi Ktana, what happens if there was Eirusin when she was still a young girl, she was only 10 years old, Ubagra, and then she became a Begeris, Biachkach Nisis, and then only after that she became a Nisua. Yeah, and the suit is usually typically within a year. Here it took a little bit longer. Or, make it simpler, you're talking about that in the betrothal, the Eirusin took place when she was 11 years and 9 months. So a year later, she's now 12 years and 9 months. She's already a Boigeres. So now, at the time of Nisuin, she's already Bagra. Says Rabbi Yehuda, even I agree, she'ein levir ishusba, that if subsequently she gets a get, or the husband dies, then that ksuba goes to her. It doesn't go to the father. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. According to the case that Rabbi Yehuda just portrayed for us, that he painted for us, the Eirusin when she was a ktana. And you just said, Rabba Rav Yosef, Hoyul Mishas Eirusin Zoch Ben Av, then it belongs to the Av, even post-Nisuin. So what difference does it make that she became a Begeris, and then afterwards she's in Nisuin? Abba Lamaisa, this right occurred in the time of Eirusin. Says him, well, you're right. We have to amend the words of Rabba Rav Yosef. Eli Itmar, Hochi Itmar. Rabba Rav Yosef, Jamal Shabayu, Hoyul Uber Shusoy Nichtovin. What does that mean? Even though the stipulated right to receive the ksuba already accrued at the time of the Eirusin. However, we don't look at the time of the Eirusin, we look at the time when the shtar was written. When did they write the ksuba? They wrote the ksuba when she was still a ktana or a nara, and they wrote the ksuba samach l'nisuin. In other words, not that different than what we do today. Of course, today we have Eirus and Nisuin back to back. But when do they typically write out the Ksuba? They're usually writing it out during the Shmorgasbord, during the Kabbalah Spanim. That's when they're filling in the blanks, and that's when they call over two people to sign it. That's typically when the Ksuba is written. Ah, so that Ksuba was written pre-Nisuin, when she was still a Ktana or a Nara. In that case, says Rabbi Yehuda, the father gets to receive the Ksuba if and when the daughter Nebuch gets divorced or becomes a widow. Where was the Yehuda Moida? B'ma'aris is Bita Kishiktana Ubagra. And then they wrote the Ksuba after she was already a Boigeres. The Akach Nisis. Oh, in that case, in Avirish Huspa. So that's what Rabbi Rav Yosef is telling us. Rabbi Rav Yosef is telling us that the key as to whether or not the father receives the ksuba, the first nisuin in our Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda says by the first nisuin he gets the ksuba, it's only if the ksuba was written pre-nisuin, when she was still a ketana or a nara at that time. Then the father receives it. When is Rabbi Yehuda Moida? When she was already a Bogeres. Oh, when she's a Bogeres, then all bets are off. Then she gets, all income stream goes to her and not to the father. So now that you want to ask, let me ask you another question. Umigva me'emis gavya. From when can you go and collect? Now, what does that mean, from when can you go and collect? What the Gemara is telling us now is, we're now fast forward. The father has passed away, the husband has passed away, and now you have the daughter, and she wants to collect on her ksuba. Unfortunately, the husband left her with a very, very small estate, and there isn't enough in the estate to cover her ksuba. But we know that the ksuba is a lien on the nechsei habal. And therefore, even if she cannot collect from the estate, she's going to go after the lekuchais. The question is, which lekuchais? Was it property that was held at the time of the erusin? Is it property that was held at the time of the nisuin? Me'emis, from when could she go back to lekuchais and say, I have a lien on your property. I want to get that property to go and satisfy my ksuba. So Timar Migva me'emis gavya from what time? Amrav Huna. If she was a Ba'ula, she only gets a mana. If she was a Psula, she gets Masayim. All of that is Mina Erisin. So you look at the property that was owned by the Baal at the time of the betrothal, at the time of the Erisin. Toisafes, anything more than the minimum, that would be Toisis Ksuba that you would write in the Ksuba. When do you write the Ksuba? Shortly before the Nisuin. Ah, that would be Mina Nisuin. There, if she wanted to collect more than the 100 or the 200, it has to be properties that were there at the time of the Nisuin. If you want to go and collect the Manu Masayim, it's from the time of the Eves. Ravasi Omar Echadzeh V'Echadzeh Min Nisuin. No, since the Ksuba is written out shortly before Nisuin, so it's at the time of Nisuin, that's when you look back to the Kuchais, who owned property at that time, who bought the property subsequent to that, that's when you make your decision. Did Rav Huna say that? In other words, Rav Huna distinguished between the Manu Masayim and the Erisin. Toisef has been Nisuan. Rav Huna himself said, "Vayitmar hoitzia olav shtei ksubais." What happens if the husband passed away, or the husband gave a get, and now she takes out two ksubais? Can you imagine? Achas shul Masayim, v'achas shul sholosh meis. One says 200, and the other says 300, and they were written on different dates. 200 and 300. Oh, so what did Rav Huna say? Basalig vice masayim, if she wants to go and collect 200, koiv mizman rishay. Then she looks at the date of that first shtar, and if there's no money in the estate, she can go back to nechasim that were owned by the husband at that time, b'shas the erusin, b'shas, in other words, mizman rishay, and then find out who bought properties, and she can go and collect from the lekuchais. Sholish Meis, if she wants to collect based on the second ksuba, then goyim zman sheni. Then she can only collect from the zman, from the date of the second shtar. See which properties were owned by the husband at that time. That's what Rav Huna said. So Frank Dimar, since Rav Huna said a few lines ago, manu masayim mina erisin, teisef zman nisuin, then Isa, tigvi masayim mizman rishon. Why don't we go and say collect the 200 from the first? Like we said before, Mana Masayim and Erisin, Umeya Mizman Shani, and collect the remaining 300, that's already Toisvis. You're not entitled to 300 Minatoiro Midrabanan. You only get 100 or 200. So the 300 by definition is Toisafes. Let the Toisafes go with Mizman Shani. So to Mulatamech, before I answer your question, let me ask you, Tigvi Chomish Meyois, Kulam. Why don't you go and get 500 altogether? After all, they're two ksubais. Let her collect Masai Mizman Rishon, Klas Mei Mizman Sheni, 200 plus 300, 500 altogether. Why are you only asking about 200 plus 100? Why don't you ask about 200 and 300? I know why you're not asking about 200 plus 300. El chomish mei is my time ole gavya kim and loy kosev lo tzivisi voisifis loch klas meya amasayim. Since the second ksuba does not say, I acknowledge that there was an earlier ksuba of 200 and I'm now adding another 300. He didn't say that in the second ksuba. Why not? I'll tell you why. Hoki kamala. What he's telling her is, Imez Manrishan Givias, if you want to go and collect from the first date, Gavya Masayim, you get 200. Imez Manshani Givias, if you're willing to go and not collect from Lekuchais, from back earlier on during the Edersim from the 200, Gavya Tlasme, and then you can go and get 300. So basically, these two Ksubais are a choice. What's the choice? Choice is, you want the earlier 200. There you have a much larger group of assets that your lien would attach to, because that's already an earlier time period when the husband had more money. Fine, then you collect 200. If you're willing to go and forego the lien on those earlier properties, now at the time that he's writing the ksuba of 300, he says, I'll give you more money up front, meaning I'm going to write in the ksuba 300, but you'll only be able to collect from a smaller amount of asset. So he's giving you that choice. And that being the case, the reason why you don't say she can be goyve 200 from the first time and 100 from the later date, I'll tell you why. Since he didn't write in the second star, I'm adding 100 to the original 200. What happened was, she was moichel on the first shibud, meaning that was the give and take. There were apparently some negotiations that took place at the time, where he said to his kala, young kala, if you insist on having a broad lien on all of my tremendous assets from this man Erisin, you get 200. If you're willing to forego a lien on some of those assets, because I sold them in the meantime, you're willing to be mochel on those assets, great. Then I'll give you an incentive. I'll give you 300. Because of that, she's not able to go and collect 200 from the earlier and 100 from the later, because that's what was agreed to. Either take the first start of 200 and have the larger asset for purpose, larger assets range for purposes of a future shibud on Lekuchais, or agree to 300, and then you'll have a much smaller asset base against which you could go in case there isn't enough money at the time of the ksuba. We'll stop over here, Rabbi Isai, and Mechem, to be continued tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, and Zai Gesund, and be well.